We gave earlier, we were going through the Chumash and we came to Parshas Noach. And I gave a class on Parshas Noach, but that class was a little bit of a distracted class. So and that was a nice couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to redo some of the talk that we did about Noach, and there might be some repetition. We left that kind of in the middle, so that's why I want to review again. And this will be this week, and then we're going to have an interruption again about Elul. So I think in a consistent manner to learn the Chumash and finding the Geula in the Chumash is primarily going to begin as we pick up again after the Yamim Tovim. After Sukkot, we will continue. But for now, just a little review of what we learned last time about Noach. So, after we conclude Sefer Parshas Bereishis, in which we saw both the perfect world as it was imagined from Hashem's mind, which is the Mashiach the world, and as it was shown to Adam and Chava immediately when they were created, they got a preview, a peek into ultimate life when they were in Gan Eden. And then we learned how there was this great cosmic collapse, both in their own little world of Adam and Chava, and with them being the central feature and the nucleus of all of creation, they brought about the greater collapse of all of the world. The world has plunged into extreme darkness. We saw its effect, its denigration. We spoke about the curses, Adam and Chava, the new state that happened afterwards, and also the denigration that happened with Cain and Hevel, as we learned about in Ashir. And eventually the world kept on spiraling down and down and down until it reached rock bottom right before the Chait, right before the, by the Dor HaMabul, by the generation of the flood. And by Noach is when we begin the rectification. In other words, until Noach, we have more or less the impact of the sin, the negativity, as the world is further and further and further disintegrating, falling down. And the Ra that was introduced into the world, the negativity becomes mixed and mixed and mixed and is destroying everything in its path. We reach the ultimate state of denigration and destruction by the Dor HaMabul. As the Pasuk says, Vatishachis Aretz Lefnei Elokim, and the world became completely ruined in front of Hashem, Kimala Aretz Chamas, that the earth became filled with Chamas, with violence. And now, by Noach is the one who begins the realm of Tikkun, paving the way for Avram Avinu, which paves the way for Matan Torah, which paves the way for the Beis HaMikdash, which paves the way ultimately for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, and the ultimate rectification of the world, in which we come full circle back to Gan Eden. And not only do we come back full circle to Gan Eden, but when we come back to Gan Eden and we come back to that, to the Beis HaMikdash, it is much greater than it would have had have been had we never been banished in the first place and had never gone through this all this pain and suffering. Okay. So being that Mashiach is the very foundation and the very purpose and the very inner essence of creation. In other words, the inner teichen, the inner content of the Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Es HaAretz, that Hashem created in heaven and earth, is because the Eibishter wanted to realize His Malchus, His kingship, which is going to be in its fullest expression in Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Vod, and Hashem's kingship as it will be expressed by the coming of Mashiach in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. In that, which right away, as we spoke years ago, it says, and I mean, months ago, Veruach Elokim Erachefes Al Pnei Amayim, the Spirit of Hashem hovering over the water. So being that Mashiach is the foundation, the purpose, and the cause, almost like what the Alter Rebbe says in Perek Mem Aleph in Tanya, Reishis HaHavoida V'Ikra V'Sharsha, since we can apply the idea, since the Reishis of the world is Mashiach, the Bereishis is Mashiach, and Ikra, the core of what the world is all about, is Mashiach. And Vishorsha, from where it emanates, is also Mashiach. It's all rooted and tied up with Mashiach. Therefore, even though we don't have Mashiach immediately, and it takes a long time until the world evolves into the Mashiach reality, we have little glimpses under in which Mashiach surfaces. It's like these Mashiach moments that keep on surfacing throughout time, throughout history, is when the outer layers peel away and we get to see the truth, the emes, the inner content of everything, but we just see it for a moment, like a flash, like a person in the dark and there's a flash of lightning and you get to see something and then it gets dark again. But the fact that you saw it, it helps us stay focused. So those moments are, the first of those, so the first initial moment was in Gan Eden, that's like we said before the preview. The second flash happens by the Mabel, and we'll see soon where by the Mabel it happens. Then we have that again by Har Sinai, in which we have a Mashiach moment, and then the various other moments during history where you have that Geula shows itself. So here we're holding is, but this is the first time in the story of Noach and the Mabel in which you have Mashiach reality or the Mashiach world coming to the into the consciousness. It moves, it comes from the hidden into the revealed. Where is Mashiach seen, experienced in the Mabel? It is, so there's two things. First of all, in life in the Teva was already a post-Mashiachic world, as we'll soon see. Life in the Teva was very was life as it's going to be in the future. And the other thing is in Noach himself. Noach himself represents the human being in the Mashiach state. It's hinted to in his name. Ela told us Noach, Noach. That Noach has two meanings to it. Noach means tranquility, peace, Malosha Necha. It means two things. No, it means actually three things. It is Noach meaning rest, menucha, from the word menucha. It also means comfort, like the word nachama. Noach is rooted in the word necha, comfort. It also means satisfaction, like you say necha derucha, a satisfaction of the spirit. So it's a rest associated with a very satisfying rest that is comforting. So these are three things. And one last thing, Noach also means chen, and chen is grace. So you have this inyan of chen, this grace that is upon Noach, and he's bringing about, he himself, he brings to the world a comforting, satisfying resting. So, and as we know, that Noach is related to Shabbos. And Shabbos is really future. Shabbos is the ultimate state of creation, is Shabbos. It belongs to the future. We know that the 6,000 years that the world stands correspond to the 6 days of the week. And it all culminates in a wonderful Shabbos. But just like Shabbos, which is the ultimate state, which is belongs to the future, does have momentary, we have little bits and pieces of Shabbos. We have little crumbs of Shabbos, little pieces of Shabbos, scattered throughout history. Every 7 days of a little Shabbos. And this all culminates in a grand big Shabbos. So the same is with Noach. The ultimate Noach is mankind after we finish all of our work. That's when the world is going to be in a state of Eila Toldes Noach, and particularly Noach Ish Tzadik. And that's when all of mankind is going to be Tzadik. Tamim, we're all going to be reached a state of Tmimus, a state of completion. But as it showed itself in the little Noach, it was just like Shabbos, as a little Shabbos, was in this man called Noach, who built an ark in which life in that ark was very messianic, Mashiachic. Okay, so let's see how the story of Noach represents the ultimate thing. Now, there's one more thing that needs to always be understood. Whenever we speak about Mashiach's world as the most tranquil, beautiful life, we can't separate that from the moments or from the time period that was the preparatory state that was created Mashiach. In other words, you can't see Mashiach just as Mashiach. Mashiach is a culmination of all that we've done in the world in the last 6,000 years. So a very fundamental part of Mashiach is this that it says in the pasuk that when Mashiach comes, we're going to turn around and say, Oitcha Hashem ki anaftabi. I thank you, Hashem, for putting me through all the hardship, all the pain, and all the misery. Mashiach is not a new chapter, or a new, like in which we forget the past. Yes, indeed, there are certain elements of the past that will go away. As Ruach HaTumah Avim and Aretz, the spirit of impurity will go away from the world. Umach Hashem Dima Ma'al Kolpanim, Hashem is going to remove all tears from the face, and there won't be any more suffering. But part of Mashiach's experience is the understanding Mashiach is not just redeeming the future, Mashiach is also redeeming the past. In other words, when we get a whole different understanding of what the past was really all about, so that we don't have that, and that's the ultimate nechama. Comfort is not, okay, my foot was hurting me and now it doesn't hurt me anymore. Comfort is, I understand now why my pain that I had in my leg was necessary for me to come to a greater good that I would never have come without the pain in the leg. So Mashiach must include within itself the redemption of all the hardship and all the darkness that preceded Mashiach. And that's why the Noach experience involves a mabul. The mabul that comes about, which the mabul, I mean, Pashtus, when you look at the story of Noach without Chassidus, and you look at the mabul and all that, all you see is extreme harshness, negativity, punishment, pain, suffering. And the mabul is the biggest, most horrific time in all of history. However, from a Mashiach Degah perspective, from a godlier perspective, from the perspective of Chassidus, which is already a perspective of Mashiach, we get to see that the mabul itself had a purification properties, and the mabul itself was what was absolutely necessary to bring us to Mashiach. So to understand that, we have to redefine the mabul. So we all know what the Alter Rebbe says, that the mabul was a purification. Because Al Pi Pashtus, until the Alter Rebbe came along, we look at the mabul as just extreme punishment and suffering. Hashem's wrath pours out onto the world, and Hashem destroys all of mankind. Everybody is killed, everybody is destroyed. The Alter Rebbe asked the question, if that was the intention, and that was all that Hashem intended in bringing a mabul, then he could have just annihilated all of mankind in just one split second. He could have just decreed that all neshamas should leave the bodies, and then in one second everybody would have dropped dead, and Hashem would not have to go through the entire commotion of making it rain for such a long time and bringing about this whole thing. It could have been 1, 2, 3. The fact that Hashem made a mabul was for another purpose. He says that mabul and rain for 40 days and 40 nights is the entire world was dipped in a mikvah. The pasuk also says that the waters of the mabul had to cover up even the highest mountains. Even Mount Everest had to be covered up 15 amos. It was covered up with water. Why? Because when a person goes to the mikvah, one of the most fundamental and important things about a mikvah is that the entire body has to be submerged in a mikvah. So as we apply this to the world, I'm just saying, before we get into the Chassidus in relating to Mashiach, let's first take a look at the Chassidus of the Mabul as unrelated to Mashiach, just Mabul as Mabul. That the Mabul is a purification of the world. The world became so defiled, it became so tameh, that life would not be able to have continued. If life would have continued, and the Ra, the evil that was then running rampage in the world, would have continued spreading and infecting, like this cancer would have continued, it would have destroyed the world completely, and the world would have been unredeemable. There would be no hope anymore for mankind. So therefore, there had to be something that will purify the souls of all human beings to give them a second chance. So that's where the mabul came. The mabul dipped the entire world, cleansed the world. Through that, the consciousness of all of humanity was purified. We had the ability to be able to sense the divine, to sense the godly again. And then, well, it's like a person sometimes. Sometimes a person is in a very, very deep depression, in a very, very dark place, or they're in a deep addiction, and the mamash, their life is deeply messed up, and they cannot see whatsoever a way of getting out of it. As much as they try, they can learn, they can go to this and to that, but they're completely stuck. Mamash, I mean, you see people. Situations, they get so stuck. and they can't go out. And then something earth-shattering happens in their life. It could be that they meet a Rebbe or something, something very, very, very intense and very powerful, and that injects a whole new, it lifts them, it takes them out of their darkness, puts them into a new place. It's not that there isn't any more a struggle. It's not that in their back of their psyche they don't have any more the demons that they were struggling with and battling with the past, but it at least creates space in which they can breathe, space in which they can sort of see a future. And that's sort of what the Mabel did. It purified the earth, allowing for the earth to have a new beginning and a new chance, that we can begin fixing that which happened by the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Noach comes out of the Teva, he's a new man, the population that he begins is not in any way close, even though they were in Tzaddikim, and even though they suffered still of all the negative and Tumma that was absorbed from before, but it wasn't in any way compared to what was before, and now they were at least able to work it all out. That is the simple story of the Mabel. Now, to see this, however, on a deeper level, what caused this purification? It was water that caused the purification, right? It was the water, and the water came from two places. It was water from below and water from above. Simply, it was Niftachu Aruveis Hashemayim. Hashem opened up the windows of heaven, and the waters of heaven were gushing forth, raining and raining and raining for a long time. But also, the Mayanais Tahaim Rabba, the great deep subterranean waters, came shooting forth from below. And that's how the world got purified. So we see that purification is related to water, and two types of water, water coming from above and water coming from below. So the Alter Rebbe in Torah Or, very, very famous Maimer, the famous Maimer of Mayim Rabbi, and then expounded on by the other Rabbeim, particularly what I'm going to say today is primarily taken from the Mittel Rebbe's Maimer, based on his father's Maimer, on the Alter Rebbe's Maimer, in which the Mayim Rabbim is explained also on a personal note. Each and every one of us goes through, everybody's an Olam Mole. See, just like the world needed purification in the Mabel, and it purified the world, so too the every human being needs purification, and the waters of life, as we're going to see soon what those waters are, bring purification to the person. Now, when we do the comparison, this is very important, when we do the comparative analysis in which we analyze the Mabel as it affected the world and our own personal Mabels as it affects us, and the comparison has to be taken one step deeper. And that is not only, you know, just like the Mabel, the human being was so, the world became so polluted and so dark. And then the Mabel came, and the Mabel purified it again, giving us a fresh new start. The same is also that we might have sinned in our lives, and then we need a Mabel that brings purification. But in that sense, the Mabel is still a very negative thing. It's dealing with negativity. And at the best, it's only restoring us back to a place where we were before. In other words, it restores us to innocence. Just like the world was restored to innocence after the Mabel restores us to innocence. But then you still have the question, why make the human being vulnerable to fall to darkness, to pain, and to this denigration, only to bring him back full circle to start to get back to square one? What's the point of it? I mean, I was already at this place before we ever went into the darkness. So why need the darkness and then have a Mabel and then we get back to our starting point? It doesn't make any sense. So therefore we have to say that we have to take it deeper and then see that in the Mabel, there is not only that the world is now put back to where it was from initially, but we actually have Yerida Tzairach Aliyah, that the very fall itself and the darkness and the denigration and everything that and the Mabel, it didn't bring us back, it elevated us to a much higher place than we were before. And the same is also going to be that the Mabel, as we see it in our own lives, and as it pertains, as we're going to see now, to Mashiach, is not that we're coming back full circle, but we're going much deeper and much higher than we were before. And what is that? Where do you see that? You see, in the story of the Mabul, as it applies to the earth, over there we don't see it. It's like after Apipashtis. The truth is it's there as well. But Apipashtis, we have the earth cleaned and back in its state in which it was originally. But primarily where we do see it is in the Teva. Because, you see, the Mabul came and destroyed earth, but those who survived it in an ark, in a boat. And the boat was rising on the waters. Meaning all these creatures, let's think about it, Noach, his family, all the animals, all the creatures that were living on earth, now that the Mabul came, they were in the Teva. And what happened? Vatarem, and the Mayim lifted up the Teva. Vatarem ateva me'ala aretz, that the Teva was lifted up, which means simply, just begashmias, it means that they were now picked up higher because they were now floating on the waters. And then how high were they going up? They were going so high that the waters were carrying them higher and higher above even the tallest mountains. Which means mankind and animals and all creatures were elevated to the highest elevation. Never is there in history, never do we don't find it in all of the story of creation, we never find human beings floating so high. And by the story of the Mabul, this is what happened. We went into this massive elevator that lifted us up, and what was that elevator was the waters of the Mabul itself. That's what lifted them up to the greatest peaks. Now, while they were in the Teva, and while they were lifted up so high, where did it elevate them to? It elevated them to Yemos HaMashiach. Because we know that in the Teva, one of the things that happened in the Teva was that there was, all the animals were there, and the question is asked in many Mefarshim, how is it possible that these animals, first of all, they fit into such a small place, number one. Number two, these animals are big enemies one to each other, predators. Predatory animals and prey, and they all lived in such a small place. And even though Noach made rooms, but how many rooms can he make? It wasn't so big, the Teva, to facilitate all these animals. The animals had to interact with each other, but the predatory nature of the animals went away from them. Why did the predatory natures happen? Because that's the way it's going to be when Mashiach comes. Lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kachi, where the animals will not hurt each other. There won't be any more of the predatory nature and of this violence, the violent nature that animals have in which they hurt each other. In the days of Mashiach, it won't be anymore. And the real reason why it won't be by Yemos HaMashiach is not because, okay, a miracle will happen and the lion will lose its desire for flesh, to rip flesh. Now the lion, like the shark, loves blood. The lion, that nature is going to go away, right? Mizmashi liyoy mashabas, as the pasuk says, sing a song to Shabbos. L'mashbis mazikin min ha'olam, that Hashem removes mazikin from the world. It's not a miracle. What happens is that the reason why animals don't get along with each other is because the world, as the world is now, is in a state of pirud, is in a state of fragmentation, and when you have pirud, you have clashing forces. Just like fire and water clash with each other, a lion and a cow, a lion and a buffalo, a lion and a deer clash with each other. Their energies are opposite energies. So therefore, one is in friction with the other. When Mashiach is going to come, what's going to happen is Achdus Hashem is going to be revealed in the world. Mashiach is the Yechida. Yechida Shaba'olam. We spoke about this at other shiurim. Mashiach is the inner oneness. He's the Yechida Shaba'olam. And because Mashiach is Yechida, it's going to bring along the inherent Achdus that is at the core of all creatures and of all being, which is the godliness that is the inner spark that creates everything. And that is going to bring, since every creature is going to be in touch with his own Yechida, and in Yechida we're all emanating from one essence of the Ein Sof, one of the Eibishter, so inevitably there's going to be an Achdus. Noach, he is the one who is the personification of that Mashiach energy. So he is the master. He brings all the animals into the Teva. And all this is achieved through the waters of the Mabul. So those very destructive, dark, hot, scorching, painful water that brings such destruction, such horror, such a nightmare to the world, in essence, what is it really doing? It's producing, it's causing, It's producing Noach, and it's producing a world that is so harmonious and so beautiful that is floating on top of the highest mountains. And this, the Alter Rebbe is, and the Mittler Rebbe is explaining, is really the story of all suffering and all pain and all negativity. Because what's the Mayim Rabim, one of the great waters? So the Alter Rebbe says like this. The Mayim Rabim, the great waters, are all the problems of life. Everybody's problems. We all go through an ocean of a sea, turbulent seas. The turbulent seas are the problems we have, the difficulties that we have. First of all, the pressures of daily life and the stresses that come along with it. We all have anxiety. We all have stress. We're all so busy. We don't have, and primarily, as much as these things are, you know, they're very painful and they're sometimes very harsh and very difficult. But the biggest problem is that they are an encroachment on our ability to serve Hashem. And we want to be able to sit and learn. We would love to be able to sit by this shiur that we're learning now, which is come. We do it for a half an hour, 45 minutes. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we can spend 8 hours a day absorbing these unbelievable light of Hasidus and the light of the inner part of the Torah? We'd all love to do that, but we can't, because we can't afford, barely can afford a 45-minute time. And even then, we get texts, and we get this, and things need to, you know, you have deadlines, and you have, things that need to be taken care of, right? So distraction, she'en kamayu, and especially when life really gets harsh, chas v'shalom, if there's a challenge with illness, or a lack of parnasa, or whatever. People lose their jobs and they don't have. I mean, there's so many things in life that make us mamish tzedret, make us crazy. And these are serious impediments on a person's ability to daven and a person's ability to connect to the Eibishter. That's the Mayim Rabim. That's the great waters. So both an individual, to the Jewish people as a whole, to the world as a whole. But just like the waters of the Mabul were not meant, chas v'shalom, to break us and to destroy us, the waters of the Mabul were a mikveh, was a purification. So the Alter Rebbe says that the waters and the distractions and the things that you feel, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, why are you doing this to me? Can't you take it away? Can't you make it easier? I will serve you better. We need to understand, no, that these very, very obstacles, challenges, and stuff that get in our way, this is all part of a cleansing process and a purification that leads us to a much deeper light. This cleansing process itself comes in two parts. There's, as we said earlier, the mayim, the water, comes from below, and the water comes from above. And even though it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, it's mashman, the story of the Mabul, that the primary destruction of the world, and as a result of that, the primary elevation of the teva that comes as a result of that destruction, came primarily as a result of the lower waters. Because it says, Vayikala HaGeshem, the water stopped from above, but Vayigbru HaMayim, the water continued becoming stronger and stronger, Chamishim HaMa'as Yoyim, 150 days, where the waters from below were still, the fountains from below were still coming, even though the water from above subsided. And that's what, and only then does it say, Vayochusu Kala Harem HaGvayim, that it covered up all the tall mountains. It went even higher than the tall mountains. So let's understand, what does this mean? Pnimius. What are the waters above? And what are the waters below? And what is this inyan that this water purifies? So we begin with one idea. The Eibishter says, gave Avram Avinu a choice. The choice that Hashem gave Avram Avinu is, either your children will go to Gehenna, by the Brisbane Apsara, either your children will go to Gehenna, or your children will go through the trials and tribulations of exile. He called it Shibud Malchias, the subservient to the nations. And Avram Avinu was given the choice. He obviously looked into it pretty well. He knew this is going to be he's going to be responsible. And Avram Avinu chose Shibud Malchias. He chose, I think it was even that Hashem suggested to him that was the better choice. He gave him a choice, but Hashem suggested it. What does this mean? For whatever reason, which we maybe are going to speak about in today's class, maybe I won't even get to it, when there is no pain, there is no gain. That Seif Kol Seif, there has to be a certain darkness that leads us to light. And there's two levels of darkness. I mean, two ways in which the darkness. One is, neshamas can go through that purification in Gehenna. Gehenna is a very, very dark place. And it's a soul-wrenching experience. Very, very, very horrific. And we know that every aliyah in Gan Eden involves a certain Gehenna experience. There's a river of fire called Nahar Dinar. And when neshamas have to go from aliyah and aliyah, from level to level, they have to go through a dip, a tefillah in the Nahar Dinar. And the tefillah in the Nahar Dinar is scorching and painful for the soul. That's the way it is. Every revelation, every blissful state is preceded by pain. And that helps for whatever reason. It's necessary. Now, but that's already between the elevations from level to level. But the general ability to pick to bring a neshama into God's light could have been through Gehenna, and that would have been a prolonged experience in Gehenna, or it could be through Shibud Malchias. The Alter Rebbe says, what does it mean Shibud Malchias, that Jews should be amongst the exiles, surrendered, subservient to the nations? The Alter Rebbe says it doesn't mean paying taxes, because when Jews had a Jewish empire and a Jewish kingdom in Eretz Yisrael, we paid even bigger taxes than we pay. You have to give away a tenth, and that was then people have to pay in current governments. The Alter Rebbe says the difference of the idea of Shibud Malchus is that when Yidden were living in Eretz Yisrael, the days of Shlomo HaMelech, Ishtachas Teinasov, Ishtachas Gafnoi, everybody under their fig tree, everybody under their grapevine, their lives were generally simple. Parnasa was not soul wrenching. Parnasa was not gut wrenching. Parnasa, you made your livelihood. You had your farm, you did your work, you were done 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You came back to shul, you were able to sit b'menucha, study for a few hours, daven mincha, study again for an hour, daven ma'ariv, spend time with the family, and go to sleep like a mensch, wake up early morning, learn again, meditate, learn, daven. And then you did your parnasa. It wasn't fully consuming. When Yidden go into Gola, Shibud Malchus means, simply it means that our parnasa, is gut-wrenching. And as we said earlier, that's the Mayim Rabim. And that is what Avram Avinu chose, that the neshama will come down. More bepnimius, as the Mittler Rebbe says, when we say that coming down into the world is Mayim Rabim, is the great waters, what it really means is that we know that if we talk about the origins of water, that initially it says that there was one set of water. The Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim were unified together. If we go back to the before we get to the water of the Mabel, let's take a look at water at the beginning. Where is the origins of water? The water is one water. And then the Eibishter went and made Vayibadel, Hashem separated the waters. He separated the higher waters from the lower waters. And the Eibishter said, and we know that when Hashem, what does it mean? So the Alter Rebbe says, he says like this, the Shoyrish HaNeshama, the waters is the Neshama. Because water is life. And the Shoyrish HaNeshama, the root of the Neshama up there, is Mayim Elyonim. It's the supernal waters that are close to the King, that are close to the Eibishter, they remain, they experience Hashem, they're in a very godly, blissful state. The Eibishter takes the lower waters and separates them from the higher waters, which means the Chelek HaNeshama that goes into the Guf, that's called Mayim Tachtonim. That's called the lower waters. And when the water gets mislabish beguf in a guf. And similar to what we said earlier, that when Yidden go to Golos, the neshama coming into a body, that too is a Golos. Because now the neshama is going to have a body, a sluggish body, that is going to be so demanding. And just to be able to take care of your body, you're going to spend so much time in being busy with this body, taking care of the body, eating, and this, and this, and this, and that, and all the stuff you need for the body, how much is the neshama already able to cleave to its maker, cleave to its source? What happens to the neshama when the neshama comes down in the body? The neshamas become mayim boichen. The neshama becomes weeping waters. There is a deep cry and a deep pain that neshamas have, that anon bi'inun l'mahev akam amalka. The neshamas are homesick. They remember the day. I mean, even though consciously we don't, but subconsciously, the neshamas remember the time when they were sitting in Gan Eden, basking in the Ziv HaShechina, delighting in God's light way up there, with such giluyim, with such elevation. And now they're separated, they're in the dark. They're down here below, in pain, in misery. And even when they try to connect, and the words of the Mittler Rebbe says, you know, the difficulties in life bring you to a point that kol oichel, these are the words, kol oichel tesaev nafsham, that you lose the taste. Simply, you lose appetite. So the appetite that a neshama once had for elokus, it loses it. Take a look at all so many people, so many young chassidish yidden today's days from chassidish. There's no appetite. There's no appetite for chassidish. There's no appetite because nabach, because of the harshness of the body and the concealment and the blockages, You lose it. And you don't even have the capability of even doing tshuva anymore. That's what he says. It's Torah and mitzvahs, the geshmak of Torah and mitzvahs goes away, and the geshmak of tshuva. And it's a very, very dark state. So what do we see? We think that this is like the worst Sheba, worst, most horrible thing. But the Alter Rebbe says, an emes bepnimius, no. You should know that this very, very obstacles and darkness, even though b'chitzaynis, it looks like neshamis are being so battered, what's bepnimius happening, it's really an aliyah. It's really an elevation. Why? Because it's taking a tzaddik and making him into a bal tshuva. Because what's really happening is, it's the crying itself. The difference between the neshamis, the mayim al yoinim, and the mayim tachtoinim is that the mayim al yoinim are singing water. It sings to the Eibishter. It's singing, it's glowing, it's in a state of tainug, in a state of pleasure. It's delighting in the Ein Sof. The mayim tachtoinim are the bitter, bitter waters. They're weeping, they're crying. And the bitter crying is ultimately elevating them up much higher than, because their yearning is so much stronger than had they remained mayim al yoinim, had they remained the waters above. So really, when we think about the waters of the Mabul, the waters of the Mabul are the hislapshus ha-neshama, the enclosement of the neshama in a guf, and everything that life relating to the guf is going to bring it in terms of blockages and interferences in its ability to connect to Hashem, that is purifying the neshama to become a bal tshuva. And as a result of that, what happens? The neshama is then elevated to a much deeper union with the Eibishter. When? Well, so this has, again, as we said earlier, ultimately the elevation the neshama is going to have as a result of all of this is going to be Yom Shekulei Shabbos, is going to be the ultimate state after Mashiach comes, Geula, Elof HaShvi, that's when it's really going to be. And to some degree, it's every neshama after it leaves this world, after 120 years. It's Oila, much higher than it was before. The Mayim Tachtoinim go up now higher than where they were before. And then in some little way, because everything is the micro and the macro, it's every Shabbos. Shabbos is the time when we have a little bit respite from this challenge, from this. During the 6 days of the week is the time of bitterness. Even when a Yid davens, and when a Yid is, his davening is a bitter davening. It's a holoich yelechu bachoy. There's crying in the davening. He wants a lukus, but he can't have it. And it pains him. It hurts him. And then comes Shabbos. What's Shabbos? What did we say earlier? What do the Mayim Rabim do? What does the great water do? It ultimately lifts you. So let's think in the story of the Mabul. Well, those that were on the earth were destroyed by the Mabul. But then there was a Teva. And a Boyal Teva come into the Teva. And who went into the Teva? Noach went into the Teva. And where does, and Noach and the animals? And what happens to them? Vatarem HaTeva. The Teva is elevated by what? By the very water. So who is Noach? Noach is Shabbos. Noach means Shabbos. Noach is the Jew on Shabbos. As a result of trying to tread water during the week, while you're being constantly slapped around by the boiling hot water, scorching waters of the Mabul, and wave after wave comes gushing over you, and you try to cry, and you're gasping for breath, and you can't even maintain it. On Shabbos, you jump onto the Teva, and those very waters of darkness, confusion, and whatever that you had during the week are elevating you and causing naicha. Now there's calmness, tranquility, and naicha meaning satisfaction. Because the godliness that a Yid can experience Shabbos as a result of the great hunger that we have during the week and the expanded appetite and thirst and longing of the week is mamash on a complete different level. And so that's the elevation, the naicha, the noyach that comes on it. Now, very interesting, let me just say one more thing. Even though we have an elevation every Shabbos, and that is our naicha, an elevation every Shabbos, but when did the teva go? The teva is elevated higher, and when does it reach? It comes and it rests when? The pasuk says, b'chodesh ha-shvi, on the seventh month. What does that mean? That all the turbulent waters that we have during the year, which is all the obstacles, when does a yid finally make his way back home? B'chodesh ha-shvi. V'tanach ha-teva b'chodesh ha-shvi, which is Tishrei. Tishrei is the seventh month. That's when we finally manifest our tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is when we finally come back home. And then we celebrate on top of the mountain, on top of the tallest mountain we sit sukkahs, we make a sukkah, that's the celebration. We commemorate, we're singing for all the turbulent waters that we had during the whole year. And then and we know that Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbosah, and it's the ultimate Shabbos. So that's Vatana Chateva B'Chodesh HaShvi, where the neshama makes we know that the only reason we go through the hardship is that tzaddikim should become Bali Tshuva. And Bali Tshuva are much higher than tzaddikim. And when do we have the ultimate Tshuva? That's Yom Kippur. But we know that Shabbos is also Tshuva. It's a mini Tshuva. Shabbos is called Tashev. Take the word Shabbos and rearrange it, you get the word Tashev. Now, just to conclude, this Bal Tshuva, this return that is as a result of all the hardship, both our individual weekly hardship and then our elevation on Shabbos, and the darkness, and then the collective gullus darkness, and the return on Yom Yisrael Mashiach, and the yearly darkness in which we're elevated into Tishrei. See, all these things, how you see how they're all flow together. What does it produce? It produces two noyachs. Eila toldes noyach, noyach. This is the toldes of noyach. Because the elevation that comes after our work is two elevations. And that's related to two Shabbos. Noyach, noyach is two Shabbos. And this is what I spoke in the last shir. We mentioned that there's two levels in Shabbos. There's Shabbos Tata, there's the lower Shabbos, and then there is Shabbos Ilah. Because I'll say Ilum Alu Shomer Yisrael Shtei Shabbos. If Yidden would keep two Shabbos, Miyadem Nigolim, they would be redeemed. So the Alter Rebbe explains that what does it mean two Shabbos? It doesn't mean two Shabbos. It means two Shabbos in one Shabbos. That in every Shabbos there's two Shabbos. What are the two Shabbos? Let's understand this. The two Shabbos mean like this. The lower Shabbos is we returning to our source. We returning to the Eibishter. The higher Shabbos is Hashem returning to us. There's two Shabbosim. There's we returning to Him and He returning to us. Or in as it applies to the Shabbos meaning Tshuva, we know there's two Tshuvas. There's Tshuva Tata, the lower Tshuva, and there's Tshuva Ilah, the higher Tshuva. And what is the difference between them? The lower Tshuva is we extracting ourselves from our darkness, and the higher Tshuva is Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva. You bring us, you schlep us into you. You come down to us. What does that mean? It means like this. At the beginning, the first Shabbos, the first Naicha, the first resting, is the resting of a Jew. It's like Friday night. Friday night we rest. Tranquility. Amachai. But Friday night the rest is coming as you're resting from the hard work. You flop down on the couch. It's a hard Friday. You worked yourself. You prepared Shabbos. And you sit down and you have that moment of... So it's an aliyah that's coming from your own struggle, from being stuck. It's like you're escaping. So it's very, very delightful. But it's a delight coming from the pain and related to the pain. But then Shabbos day, you're already rested already. Friday night, you got rested already. So now you're supposed to increase the Shabbos. So in Hasidus, it says that Friday night is a feminine Shabbos and Shabbos day is masculine Shabbos. What's masculine Shabbos? Shabbos day is no more about, you know, reclaiming your soul and yearning for a lakus after a week of darkness. Shabbos day is within Kedusha itself, suddenly deeper, deeper levels of consciousness, deeper insight suddenly open up for a yid. You get such rich understanding in Torah, Pnimiyas HaTorah, the innermost. In other words, Shabbos day is not an escape from darkness, it's a journey in holiness itself. And the reason why Shabbos day a person can experience such spirituality is because the Eibishter Momaila from above is revealing himself. In the words of the Zohar he brings over here, the Alter Rebbe brings, that the Mittler Rebbe, from the words Yashuv Yerachmeinu, let him return, this is the Eibishter's Tshuva. Man Asar Yashuv, from which place should he return? Mahi Asar, from that place, Atika, from that ancient place, Stima, from the very hidden place. And what does that mean? That from the deepest, innermost, private place, the Eibishter reveals himself. And that is the second level of Shabbos. It's a return, it's a Naicha. In other words, the first Tainug, the first pleasure, the first tranquility, is coming from our Avodah. the second tranquility is the Eibishter satisfaction, the Eibishter's gili from above, much deeper, far beyond anything that we have done. It's what we call a serusa deliela, an arousal from above that is not contingent or related to our serusa delatata, what we did from below. And that's the difference between toildos noyach and noyach ish tzadik. Toildos noyach is the Friday night Shabbos, the Shabbos that comes, the tshuva that comes, the elevation that comes as a result of the struggle. And noyach ish tzadik, tamim hoi b'deroisov, that's the giluyim el maila that are going to come after Mashiach comes and Yom Shekulei Shabbos, that is so high and so great. But all of that ultimately comes a result of the mayim rabim, of the great waters that we've gone through in the gullus and all the hardships and all the difficulties. And all of that is going to be redeemed in the Yom Shekulei Shabbos and the noyach noyach, now that we're coming to a Shabbos to Geir. It's Erev Shemitah, and the year is a year of Shabbos. May we merit that this should be the ultimate menucha l'chaya elamim. Haracham on a yom, as we say, l'yom, yanchileinu l'yom shekulei Shabbos. May this year be the yom shekulei. Bring us in to yom shekulei Shabbos, and we don't have to wait till the year starts. Even before that, we should have already arrived over there. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, we continue next week, Thursday. Everyone should have a real Mashiach dege day, a geula dege week.